Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We are here to help you learn and improve your American English skills. Today, we have two very interesting and important stories for you. The first is about problems among young people in Asia. The second story is about space and what it might be like to live somewhere out there with Earth no longer your home. It's nice to have you with us. Let's get started with part one. A student election in Hong Kong is showing the increasing tensions between students from China's mainland and those from Hong Kong. The election took place last month at the University of Hong Kong. It followed the pro-democracy demonstrations last year in the former British territory. Jill Robbins joins us with more information.
Growing numbers of mainland Chinese students are crowding Hong Kong's classrooms and universities. As their numbers increase, tensions with students raised in Hong Kong appear to be rising. The University of Hong Kong has more mainland students than any other school in the city. Mainlanders represent about 16% of the university's total student population. The student union election there last month showed a sharp division between the two groups of students. Some students accused one candidate of being a spy for China's Communist Party. Nora Lam is a student and a reporter for the university's television station. She says one pro-China supporter was especially unhappy with her reporting on the student election. She accused the supporter of placing the private contact information and identification numbers of her friends on Facebook as an attempt to pressure her. In the days before the election, signs were hung from buildings on the University of Hong Kong grounds. One read, "To brainwashed, commie-loving mainlanders, we despite you." Other signs showed images of a student candidate next to former Chinese leader Mao Zedong. The candidate has earlier reported that his grandfather was a member of the Communist Party. One Chinese government-operated newspaper accused the Hong Kong students of McCarthyism. Joseph McCarthy was an American politician who targeted suspected communists in the United States during the 1950s. The People's Daily newspaper protested that mainland Chinese students were being treated unfairly as collateral targets. More recently, a Chinese official announced that Hong Kong must protect the security and dignity or self-respect of visitors from the mainland. Joseph Chung is a professor at the City University of Hong Kong. He says tensions between mainland and Hong Kong youth have been rising for many years. He says this has led to competitiveness, both in the classroom and student elections.
There's another level of tension with regard to election of the student union. Local students tend to be very suspicious of mainland Chinese students running for the election of the student union presidency and the cabinet and so on.
He says the pro-democracy protests show the increasing division in Hong Kong schools and in society. Last month, students voted to split from the Hong Kong Federation of Students, the city's most influential student organization. The main reason? Disagreements about the way the Occupy Central demonstrations were directed last year. Pro-democracy activists have said they plan acts of civil disobedience in the weeks to come. I'm Jill Robbins.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. For generations, people have dreamed of traveling to Mars to explore Earth's closest planetary neighbor. NASA and other space agencies have announced plans to send people to the Red Planet, but such a manned mission is years away. In the United States, some volunteers are learning how people will react to months of separation from other humans on a Mars base. Ann Ball tells us about an experiment taking place in Hawaii.
What would it be like to live on the planet Mars? Volunteers are spending 8 months in an area that looks much like the surface of Mars, but actually, they are living in Hawaii. Six people are isolated high on top of Mauna Loa, a volcanic mountain on the Big Island of Hawaii. They are living on a simulated or make-believe Mars base. The American space agency, NASA, has provided financial support for the work. The project is called High Seas, or Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation. Kim Binstead of the University of Hawaii is supervising the project. She walks across red lava rock from the volcano, 2,500 meters above sea level. Because it is so high, the land is not warm or rich with plants like the rest of Hawaii. Ms. Binstead says this stark environment is as close to Mars as you can find here on Earth.
Visually, it's very similar to what you see on Mars. You'll see that there's really no visible plant life, there's no visible animal life, and you've got this wonderful volcanic material. We're on a cinder cone here on Mauna Loa, and Mauna Loa is geologically very similar to Olympus Mons on Mars.
The six-member High Seas crew is mostly self-sufficient. They take care of themselves. Food and supplies are brought to them. But the individuals bringing those supplies cannot communicate with volunteers inside the habitat or base. Kim Binstead says this experiment looks at how the astronauts interact or get along with each other.
We study how well they work together, how we can keep them happy and supported and not wanting to kill each other over these long durations.
The current crew has been living in the habitat since October and will stay until June. Two earlier crews lived there before them. Crew members communicate with the outside world through email and blogs. They also produce videos on the YouTube website, like this one from Mission Commander Martha Linio.
Hi, Mission Support. This is Commander Martha from the High Seas Crew 3. I need some
crew members also are using a smartphone app or program that creates a 20-minute delay for communications. That would be the same as if you were communicating from Mars. This is not the only group of volunteers with sights set on Mars. A group called Mars One has appealed for would-be Mars astronauts from around the world. Mars One is a private, non-government project based in the Netherlands. Others believe the American or European space agencies are the most likely to put people on Mars, maybe in the 2030s or later. Whoever gets there first, the trip will not be easy, says Kim Binstead.
It's going to be challenging.
For now, on a mountaintop in Hawaii, volunteers are getting a taste of life on a future Mars base. I'm Ann Ball.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
On March 5th, Jasmine Hughes wrote in a New York Times blog, "Recently, at an IRL party, that is, a party that takes place in real life, as opposed to where I generally live, which is on the internet, a guest asked a friend and I how we met. The sentence includes a common error I have been seeing and hearing more and more often lately. The error is using the subject pronoun I when the object pronoun me should be used. Even President Obama can be heard using I for the object of a sentence. At his first press conference on November 7, 2008, he spoke about being invited to tour the White House. Well, President Bush graciously invited Michelle and I to meet with him and First Lady Laura Bush. English has 8 subject pronouns. I, you, he, she, it, we, you, and they. Subject pronouns show the actor in a sentence. For example, in the sentence, I speak English, I is the actor. English also has 8 object pronouns. Me, you, him, her, it, us, you, and them. We use an object pronoun to show the receiver of the action in a sentence, as in, she gave the book to me. In that sentence, me is the receiver. I think the confusion about I and me comes from instruction we get as children to be polite. When we mention ourselves and another person in a sentence, we are told to put the other person first. For example, we might be reminded to say, my brother and I went to the White House. Saying, I and my brother went to the White House is grammatically correct, but would sound impolite or rude. So, English speakers who are faced with 2 people in the object position in a sentence often grab for the phrase, somebody and I. They do not notice the phrase is grammatically incorrect. It just sounds more polite. Back to Miss Hughes, her party, and the New York Times blog. Her sentence should be rewritten as, a guest asked a friend and me how we met. A simple way to check for the correct pronoun in a case like this is mentally to eliminate the second person. Try saying in your head, a guest asked me how we met. That simple check makes choosing the correct pronoun easier. Take it from me. I'm Jill Robbins.